With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
So today we've got day one of the Field of 64. Tomorrow, of course, is day number two. Our next guest is calling games from the Nashville pod. He's got Cincinnati, Georgia State, Nevada against Texas, Xavier, Texas Southern, and Missouri against Florida State. He'll be calling games for CBS and the Turner family of networks. My good friend Andrew Catalan joining us here on the show. Mr. Catalan, good morning.
Merry Christmas, DA.
Merry Christmas, as in March Madness Christmas?
Yeah, this is like Christmas Day.
It is. I woke up today and I had such a hop in my step. I was so excited for games today. I would have to imagine being behind the mic, you got to feel the same way.
Yeah, no doubt. This will be my fifth tournament, and each and every year it's an honor, and excited to see these teams. And Nashville's a great city. Come here for the NFL a lot. Great food. We should talk with Mraz about some of the food down here. But no, it's an awesome place, and I think the atmosphere will be fantastic.
What's the go-to meal when you go to Nashville, since you have been there so many times for games?
You got to do the Nashville hot chicken.
Yeah.
That's the play for sure.
White meat or dark meat?
I'm a white meat guy.
Mm.
Yeah. And the spicier, the better. That's kind of my key.
Okay. All right. I like to hear this. Okay.
Yeah.
So, Cincinnati, Georgia State. I like this because I want to see how Cincinnati deals with the pressure of being a two seed. I think they are so under the radar as a two. Most of America does not have them dancing into a Final Four, but they're legit good. Can the Bearcats defense carry that team to the final weekend of the tournament?
Well, there's no doubt their defense has carried them all season, and I did their regular season finale at Wichita State, which was an incredible game on CBS. Cincinnati pulled it out at the end to win the conference championship, and then they went on to win the conference tournament as well. You know, look, their defense, number two in the country, only Virginia statistically is better. They've got some real veteran guys that have been through Mick Cronin's system now that know how to play and know the style that he wants. The question for Cincinnati, as it's been for the last several years, is do they have enough offense to score? I'm not worried about their defense. Their defense will hold opponents down. But who do they go to for a big bucket? You think Jacob Evans, you think Gary Clark. That's going to be the question as they get further on in the tournament. Can they score enough points to win? And you know, that's a real big question for me. 30-4, unbelievable season, number two seed. It's all there for them, but I still think that in a big spot, they're going to have to prove that they have enough offense to get over the hump.
You know, Virginia and Cincinnati are built the same way, and they're in the same bracket, the same region, so they could end up fighting it off in the Elite Eight. And I wonder, in a year like this year where there was no superpowers of college basketball, does having an elite defense, is that a great equalizer for these two teams? Are they actually specifically well-geared for March Madness because there aren't great teams this year?
I think it's a great point, DA, and I think there's some truth to that for sure. I mean, you know, doing two games a week since the start of January, you know, Michigan State is probably the best team in terms of talent that I've seen. Arizona, Duke, you put those guys in the mix, but there's no dominant team. So what's going to stand out? Defense. So I think that of all the years, now Virginia obviously had a big injury happen this week, but for Cincinnati, you know, there's not going to be that one team that you're going to go up against that's going to score 90 points per game. You know, the defense could slow down the game. It could put the tempo into Cincinnati's favor. And certainly they've had a wonderful year for Mick Cronin, and they've got a lot of talent on this team. This, you know, as you said, with their defense, that's going to carry them. But I still, 2 minutes to go, where do they go for a big bucket? That's going to be their question.
I don't doubt that Cincinnati can win today or win tomorrow relatively easily against Georgia State. I do worry about Cincy in that next matchup against either Nevada or Texas in the 7-10 matchup there. Out of Nevada and Texas, who do you think is a tougher matchup for Cincinnati?
Well, first, you cannot dismiss Georgia State.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, you know, this is kind of ironic in the sense that the last time Georgia State was in the tournament, Ron Hunter fell off his stool.
They love seeing you.
And yes, they're very, because we did that game, me, Steve Lapis, Jamie Erdahl, and now that they're actually, DA, they're bringing the stool.
Oh, really? Really?
Yes. Yes, they figured it might be their good luck charm. So even though Ron Hunter is fully healed from tearing his Achilles 3 years ago, the stool was on the bus from Georgia State to Nashville. So you got that little part of it with you. And they actually have a phenomenal player in DeMarcus Simons, who's a sophomore. He could be their next NBA guy like RJ Hunter who hit that shot. So I don't want to just dismiss Georgia State because, you know, they have had some success. But if you do look ahead, you know, Nevada had a great year in the Mountain West, but they lost their point guard about a month ago, Lindsey Drew, and they got drilled on last Friday night in Vegas. I did the game in the Mountain West semis against San Diego State, and that injury really worries me. They're not very deep. Now, Texas has had an up-and-down year. They're not as deep. Eric Davis Jr. continues to be suspended because of the alleged allegations in the Yahoo report, but they do have an NBA player, a lottery pick in Mo Bamba. And it seems like this team has really found something down the stretch. And also, when you think about Texas, you think about Andrew Jones, who was their second leading scorer, diagnosed with leukemia around January 1st. And you know, he's been their motivator without him now. So I think Texas has a lot of things going for him. And that would be a really interesting matchup if it's Cincinnati and Texas.
Andrew Catalan's got the Nashville pod starting tomorrow and then, of course, on Sunday as well in the NCAA tournament. He joins us here on the show. So just to go back to Georgia State and Ron Hunter, this was amazing. A couple of years ago, was that 2 years ago now?
2015.
Okay, 2015. 3 years ago now. Coach Hunter tears his Achilles. He's on the sideline of the NCAA tournament, sitting on a stool, coaching because he's got to be on the floor. They win on that crazy shot, and he falls off his stool. You are calling this game. This is the most epic moment in Georgia State athletics history. Are they aware that you as a broadcast team are going to be back calling the game? They've got to be thrilled if they know that.
Oh, they're well aware.
Okay.
They're very excited that we will be reunited. I guess Ron Hunter thinks maybe we're his good luck charm. He actually said that he's just happy that he can actually talk to us without sitting down this year, because last year he couldn't, or 3 years ago, he couldn't even walk. So, yeah, they brought the stool. They're very excited. And again, RJ Hunter is with the Houston Rockets organization. He hit that incredible shot to beat Baylor 3 years ago. But the kid they have now, who's a sophomore, he's already scored more points than RJ Hunter did that season. This DeMarcus Simons is a player. Now, look, on paper, 215, yeah, Cincinnati is favored and should win this game. But this is what March is all about. You got that little charm of Georgia State, Ron Hunter back in the tournament. So I'm looking forward to this one.
You've got a 116 matchup in Xavier, Texas Southern. Last night, Texas Southern gets its win. And just the joy and just what we saw from Texas Southern, its coach and its players last night was just so cool. And I think that, you know, they've already had a great story, so I don't know if it needs to be any more. We've never seen a 116 upset. But for Xavier, they're so efficient, and they're just so well-coached. Why does Chris Mack set himself apart in terms of a coach that you cover?
You know, he's just so steady, D.A. I did them a couple of times this year. I've seen them a lot over the past few years. And, you know, he never gets too high, never gets too low. I know that's a cliche, but when you talk to Chris Mack, you can never get a sense of whether he's really happy with his team or disappointed in his team. And obviously, there's nothing to be disappointed about this year. An incredible run, won the Big East regular season championship, and they've won four of their last five games coming in. And you know, anytime you have a star player like Trayvon Blewett, who's averaging just under 20 points per game, you know, he relies on Blewett to, you know, kind of, you know, set the tone for their offense. So, you know, Xavier comes in, and again, number one seed, 15-3 in the Big East. But when you look at Xavier, are they a dominant one seed? You know, when you think back to previous tournaments, would you put Xavier as one of the four best teams in the country? They proved it during the regular season. They're going to have to prove it again. They went 1-4 this year against Villanova and Providence, and 27-1 against everyone else. I think it's a really interesting team. And the thing that I like about Xavier is they are tourney tested. They went to the Elite Eight last year. They lost to Gonzaga as an 11 seed. Pretty much have, you know, everyone back this year. It's a very veteran crew, and I think that bodes well for Xavier in this tournament.
Xavier, if it wins, will get the winner of Mizzou, Florida State, the 8-9 matchup. And Mizzou is one of the great unknowns of this tournament. They earned an 8 seed out of the SEC without the likes of Michael Porter Jr. Now, Michael Porter's likely to be a top 3, top 5 pick in the NBA draft. What do you think the addition of Porter means to a Mizzou team that played the entire year basically without him?
Yeah, I'm fascinated by Michael Porter tomorrow, and I would think that NBA scouts will be as well. I mean, if you're an NBA scout, how do you evaluate this guy? I mean, obviously, he was a great prospect coming out of high school. He played 2 minutes in the season opener, and then he played 23 minutes last week in the SEC tournament. That's it. He's played a total of 25 minutes the entire season. So if you're an NBA scout, I would imagine you have to be here in Nashville tomorrow, because I don't know how you're going to get a good evaluation of this guy in game competition. He's going to play a lot. Jordan Barnett, who was their second leading scorer for Missouri, arrested over the weekend for suspicion of DUI. He will not play tomorrow. So that means Michael Porter will start. You know, his brother, Jonte, has had an incredible season, a little bit overlooked from Missouri because of all the headlines from Michael. But you're right, DA. It's a great unknown tomorrow. How will Michael Porter play? I mean, he scored a total of 14 points all year. So I can't wait to see how he's used. And, you know, I think there's some questions like, should Konzo Martin play him a lot, play him a little, mix him in? Does he disrupt the flow of what Missouri's doing? I don't buy into any of that. If this kid was as good as advertised coming out of high school, you play him tomorrow and you play him a lot against Florida State.
You have a following in Buffalo because you've called so many Bills games. You've called Bills preseason games as well. And we were talking about the addition of A.J. McCarron. McCarron signs as a free agent, and Mraz is already declaring that the Bills are the next AFC East dynasty, and by 2019 will win the division and rip supremacy in the division away for the New England Patriots. Do you believe A.J. McCarron is the long-term solution in Buffalo?
Wow, that's a bold statement by Mraz.
Very bold. Very.
Until the Patriots are knocked out, it's hard to pick against them. But I will say that the job that GM in Buffalo, Brandon Bean, and head coach Sean McDermott, in terms of changing the culture, it's a different feel when you go to Buffalo these days. And I think these moves they're making are showing you that, you know, this is a team that was not satisfied with just making the playoffs. And, you know, from the day they came in, the two of them, Bean and McDermott, they've said, we're going to think about winning in the short term, but we're also thinking long term. Every move they make, it just seems to really fit that motto of, yeah, we're gonna try to win the division this year, but we're also thinking 2-3 years down the road. It feels like they're building something for the long haul, which with McCarron, yeah, a 2-year deal, he could be the guy, but if he's not, he's the bridge, or assuming a bridge to a younger quarterback that they could draft. That's why the trade for Cordy Glenn when they moved up with draft spots with the Bengals, I think, makes a lot of sense. You could see the Bills be a player for a young quarterback and have that guy sit behind McCarron for at least a year. So I love the moves that they're making. I think there's a lot of excitement and enthusiasm in Buffalo, and I would not bet against Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean, that's for sure.
Andrew Catalan joining us this morning here on the show. Final question, since you have a 1-16 matchup, and we've never seen a 16 over a 1, have you thought about what your final call would be if you had the only 16 over 1 upset in NCAA tournament history? You'd want it to live forever. It would live forever. Have you thought about what the final call would be?
A little bit. And I'm open for suggestions. Okay. And I'm wondering, is the sweetest 16, is that doesn't work, does it? Because it's like the sweet 16 is different than the 16 seed. So
right,
I'm kind
yeah.
of at the drawing board right now here.
So you have thought about this and you have tried to ruminate on
well,
it.
Well, I mean, a little bit. And not particular to Xavier and Texas Southern, but just over the years, you know, I'm not a big scripter of calls. I don't sit down and like, okay, if Missouri wins, I'm not going to say the Tigers roar over, you know, I'm not going to do that. It just kind of comes out. But 1 vs. 16 is historic, and I don't know. It probably would just be it finally happened or whatever came out of my mouth. But I don't think there'll be anything prepared. But if you have any suggestions, certainly send them my way.
Okay, yeah, we'll kick this around. We'll throw it out to the listeners as well because I'm with you. I like off-the-cuff, unscripted final calls. But, boy, 1-16, to know that you had the only one ever, God, you'd want that to be the best.
You would. You would. But going back to the ultimate point, you can't. I mean, Ron Hunter fell off his stool is my call when Georgia State won. That's not something the night before that you write down and say, "All right, this is going to happen." So, ultimately, it's probably just going to be heat of the moment. But if you have a good suggestion, I'll certainly listen. Okay.
The seconds tick off the clock. Holy hot chicken! Texas Southern 78, Xavier 77.
I can assure you that will not be the final call tomorrow. I know that.
Follow my good friend Andrew Catalan on Twitter this March, and then coming up in the Masters as well, at Andrew Catalan. Listen for him, watch for him tomorrow and Sunday on the Nashville Pod game to the NCAA tournament on both CBS and the Turner Networks. Cat, have a great call, buddy. I'll be watching.
Thanks, bud. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, Andrew Catalan joining us this morning here on the DA Show.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.